Hello, I'm Jason Rugard of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. Welcome to a special summer show. Every Friday, I'll be taking a week-by-week look back at the summer of 1990. This was a box office season that was amongst the most competitive and influential in movie-going history. On each show, I'll be chronicling the performance, critical response, and historical relevance of the biggest hits and costliest misfires that shaped the summer of 1990. Episode 3, June 8th through the 10th, 1990.
It's been 7 long years.
Look, I got 48 hours to bring this guy in. I'm history.
You want me to go out with you for another 48 hours?
Now look, Reggie, this time I promise you it's gonna be different.
But Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte are back.
Let me tell you something. I ain't working for you. I don't like you and I don't trust you.
Welcome back, Reg.
And they're making up for lost time.
You got the same car, same clothes.
That's the way I like it. I get attached to things, Reggie.
Another 48 hours.
Oh, you're in trouble with the law this time. Good.
Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte.
I'm driving.
I was wanting a chauffeur, Reggie.
Another 48 hours.
Another 48 Hours is the costly sequel to the 1982 hit 48 Hours. It was the sole release of the weekend on June 8, 1990, and it would go on to rule the box office for one sole weekend. Another 48 Hours sees Nolte reprise his role as San Francisco police officer Jack Cates, who has 48 hours to clear his name from a bogus manslaughter charge. To do so, he again must recruit Reggie Hammond, who is only a few days away from being paroled. Meanwhile, the two become entangled with a criminal mastermind, known only as the Iceman, who has hired a gang to kill Reggie and Cates. The film spent 1 weekend atop the box office before quickly being swallowed by the star vehicles in waiting by Warren Beatty and Tom Cruise, not to mention the continued strong performance of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall. Another 48 Hours opened with $19.5 million, grossed $80 million, 73 of which foreign box office, for a total of $153 million in 1990 dollars. While these numbers sound significant against the film's reported $50 million production budget, costly deals with Murphy, who received $12 million plus a percentage of the gross, led to Paramount taking a loss on the project and canceling any further plans for future films in the franchise. The underwhelming box office totals led to accusations from star Eddie Murphy that Paramount, the studio releasing the project, didn't spend enough on adequate advertising. He also blamed a shifting release date as reasons why his star vehicle, and seemingly no-brainer home run, failed to ignite ticket sales. Executives at Paramount fired back, countering with complaints that Murphy hadn't spent enough time promoting the project on junkets or talk shows, as he relied only on his name recognition and the brand to get people into the theaters. Perhaps the most interesting thing about Another 48 Hours happened off-screen. In a 25th-hour move, the film's original running time was cut from 145 minutes to a more manageable 120 minutes. And then, 1 week away from its world premiere, Paramount ordered the film to be cut again, this time to its current incarnation at 95 minutes in length. Veteran character actor Brian James, whose role was severely downsized in the theatrical release, gave an interview at the time suggesting that when Total Recall came out a week before Another 48 Hours, Paramount panicked due to their large financial investment into the 48 Hours film. They felt that at well over 2 hours, the movie might be a bit too much and ordered the cuts for more playdates throughout the day. It's hard to know if those additional scenes would have helped or hurt the box office take of Another 48 Hours. It would have presumably made the film stronger on a story level and more impactful. Instead, we're left with a crude rehashing of the 1982 film. It's a rather ugly and mean-spirited flick, with wall-to-wall action, but the laughs are few this time around, and the plot is nearly impossible to follow. The score by James Horner is the film's lone memorable asset.
Murphy is reunited with cop Nick Nolte in another 48 hours. It's all coming up next on Siskel and Ebert.
Our next movie is another 48 Hours, which is not so much a sequel as a film in the same tradition as the original 48 Hours, which came out in 1982 and made Eddie Murphy into an overnight movie star. Sometimes you get a sequel that really tries to improve on the original. Lethal Weapon 2 was a movie like that. Sometimes, though, you get a sequel that simply wants to exploit the original success. And that is the case with Another 48 Hours. The movie starts with a very badly confused screenplay, a story so hard to follow that at some point they simply go to a convict who's still in prison and say, who is this guy? And the convict says, here's his name and here's his address. And they say, thanks very much. That's the only way they could write themselves out of that corner. And then the movie goes very light on the best elements of the first film, which was the relationship between Nolte and Murphy. Instead, there are a lot of shadowy bad guys and endless fight scenes, one of which probably sets a modern day record for the amount of glass that people are throwing through, at, or upon.
Shockingly bad, and I'm stunned that a film company and creative people would throw away, simply for personal monetary reasons, throw away a franchise like this picture, like the relationship between these two guys. That's money in the bank. If you just let these guys talk to each other and have some kind of relationship, why do you want to put these two guys and run them through a treadmill of bar fights and broken glass? I don't understand it.
You know,
I was stunned.
I don't... One, I just seem like I'm always giving the same review of Eddie Murphy because my job is not to be a career doctor. But here is a man who is, by his very nature, destined to be and is a superstar. And there is nothing that he could not have if he exercises quality control. He is not being handled well. He is making one bad, sloppy, ill-written, ill-conceived, ill-thought-out movie after another, as if his magic is going to carry it through, and it ain't going to happen.
I recently revisited this film, in preparation for this podcast. I always kind of liked it as a kid. Even though it has its major flaws, and they become even more evident today when going back and reviewing it, it still held my interest. Murphy has a couple good lines, and Nolte, although somewhat disinterested at times, is still great as the gruff, foul-mouthed cop. It's missing something, though. It doesn't have the humor or the heart the first one did. It's all hard-edged violence and non-stop mayhem, with a plot that's almost indecipherable. That'll do it for episode 3 of our special summer supplementary series. Join us every Friday as we take a look back at the summer of 1990. Thanks for joining us.